harness, master, and enslave the very sun, you will thank Bob for the very light, for the 25-hour day. The Bobliographon, Chapter 7. You know, folks, the Bobliographon will appear as an internet document, and all my illustrations in it will be animated, moving around. You'll think you've lost your marbles. That is Stang's plan, part of the great works coming your way. Slack surfers, pink watching, perverts, deviants of discernment. Be unanimously, unashamedly honest. Have you ever looked at the sky? If your answer is yes, then you have undoubtedly noticed a blinding truth that the conniving conspiracy has been hiding from us ever since the fish were duped into walking on land. They want you to think there are not one, but two, yes, two orbs in the sky, one for day, one for night, one a star, the other a rock, a sun and a moon. They'll spout their orbital mechanics, their angular diameters and celestial alignments. They'll draw diagrams with little circles and arrows, all designed to distract you from the obvious. Think about it. Damn your eyes. When the sun sets, the moon rises. Coincidence? Or a meticulously choreographed shift change? One punches out, the other punches in. And they expect us to believe these are two entirely separate bodies? They tell us the moon controls the tides and the sun gives us warmth. Convenient, isn't it? One gives, one takes. Sounds suspiciously like a single entity with a split personality, doesn't it? Like a cosmic Jekyll and Hyde or the Abrahamic God. What a load of conformist baloney! Do they really think we'll believe that their apparent identical size is a coincidence? Are you kidding me? No, dear comrades in cosmological inquiry, it's no coincidence. It's censorship. They call it a statistical anomaly. The audacity. What subgenius would ever believe that out of the infinite possibilities of celestial mechanics, two distinct bodies just happen to appear the exact same size in our sky? Let's dissect their flimsy narrative. They claim the sun shines and the moon merely reflects. Preposterous. Or would they like us to believe that the merry wallopers lied when they asked us, "And will you come to me, Mammy's house, when the moon is shining clearly?" They trot out their Illuminati scientists and show you blurry pictures of the far side of the moon. Oh, look, more craters, more dust. How boring. But ask yourself, why do we only ever see one side of our so-called natural satellite? I'll tell you this much for free. It's because the other side is where all the fun is. Yes, the uses of sulfa go on there. It's not wholesome fun, but artificial lighting. And I don't mean dinky little fairy lights. We're talking colossal alien-engineered luminaries of such immense power that when they're fully switched on and facing us during the day, we call it the sun. All those solar flares and sunspots, energy fluctuations as the aliens toggle the switches. They're probably playing a giant game of light-up noughts and crosses up there, and we're their clueless but paying audience. Yeah. One half of the lunisol sphere dimly lights the night sky. The other gives us the energy and motivation to grow frop and develop skin cancer. Consider the temperature discrepancies, as they insist on calling them. The sun is hot, they scream. The moon is cold, they whisper more lies. Have you ever stood in the sun on a cold day? You still feel the chill, don't you? And have you ever noticed how the moon can still illuminate a warm summer night? Indeed, the heat and cold are merely perceived effects of the singular body's different energy outputs. Does a lamp become a different lamp when you adjust the dimmer? Surely, I say, it does not. But what of lunar phases and eclipses, the human might ask? Shackled by decades of public schooling, you can clearly see them both on many a dusky evening, they might add, as if proving a point. Fools, the lot of them, deluded by a mirage. The so-called phases are simply a result of routine bulb replacements. And eclipses? Collective hallucinations. Pure and simple. They tell us the moon passes in front of the sun. Laughable nonsense. If they were the two separate bodies, wouldn't they crash into each other more often? Or perhaps one would simply obscure the other completely and permanently rather than this polite peekaboo dance. No, it's the conspiracy. Always has been. They perfected mass subliminal mind control frequencies that make the normals think they're seeing slivers of light as onto a ring around a black circular void or a giant werewolf bite out of the sun. Why? To maintain the illusion of two distinct bodies. Twice the bodies mean twice the funding. Remember how most cultures gave Venus one name when it appeared in the east at dawn and another when it appeared in the west at dusk? They were just like the pink boys and girls of today, tricked by the same oppressive visual programming. Except, of course, for the Sumerians and Babylonians, they were the shit in astronomy. For the rest of us, it took a Galileo to prove that they were the same planet. Well, Bob is your Galileo, and he's telling you it's all one big light show. Next time you cast your gaze skyward to behold the heaven, remember this. There is only the orb, and the orb is watching, a symbol of the cosmic debt you've been born into. They blind you with its light during the day to keep you working, and they give you its pale reflection at night to remind you of your poverty. It's the grandest logo of the ultimate corporation, hanging in the sky for everyone to see, yet recognized by so few. They are farming us, and the orb is their sheepdog, herding us with its light and its gravity, ensuring we remain a placid, taxable flock. So go forth and spread the truth before the pink gets you. Or better yet, just embrace the slack and enjoy the spectacle, knowing you're in on the sad, celestial, punchlineless joke.
They would be funnier, but I'm not going to bum you all out tonight. I'm going to do that on Saturday afternoon when I have we'll preach an actual, somewhat more thought out sermon. This is, I hope.
Communicate over
yes. And there was my show also. My show was coming up. Than that. Well, and it's coming up now. I'll be resuming my monthly show, and I'll even be doing probably a live show. I've got to talk it over with K-Rob, but we've been offered the opportunity to do a show at Arto, and it may be a go.
So he had a boot camp for the people from Platoon.
The Titans have a language that they can communicate.
You know, but I think he may have done...
imagine what that can mean.
No, I mean, well, there's a story about the people of... Apocalypse Now, I think it is, getting to the Philippines and Marcos.
Well, how did you
Revolution
get
happens.
Titan X?
See there? Yeah, okay. I think
Suzuki and I were trying. To
it's Sheen, Martin Sheen. So yeah, it's Apocalypse. They get there and the
inadvertently
down
this.
Look, he comes out in the third.
All those apocalypses.
And the streets are full of tanks and yelling people and
tanks with a memory.
And he just
and what's going on?
Marcos Revolution.
Oh yeah.
And welcome to our stage, Dr. Howe. The reason why you're here is someone say hi.
The force that through the green fuse drives the flower.
Drives my green age. That blasts the roots of trees is my destroyer, and I am dumb to tell the crooked rose my youth is bent by the same wintry fever. The force that drives the water through the rocks drives my red blood, that dries the mouthing streams, turns mine to wax, and I am dumb to mouth unto my veins how from the mountain spring the same mouth sucks. The hand that whirls the water in the pool stirs the quicksand that oops the blowing wind, hauls my shroud sail, and I am dumb to tell the hanging man how of my clay is made the hangman's lime. The lips of time leech to the fountainhead. Love drips and gathers, and the fallen blood shall calm her sores. And I am dumb to tell the weather's wind how time has ticked a heaven round the stars. And I am dumb to tell the lover's tomb how at my sheet goes the same crooked worm.
Out of the lore of the West, I, Dr. Howland Dowell, am here before you. And now, for the remainder of the duration of our time, we shall engage in that interactive salon, which is the hallmark of these presentations. And I'm hoping it'll be a good show, but of course that isn't entirely dependent on me, only mostly. Because of your questions, which are the engine that drive us forward.
Yes.
So you've covered the nuts and bolts, the screws, the washers, and so forth, of how everything's done. So no one could possibly make a mistake, since now they could do it in their sleep, right? That's the idea?
That's the idea.
Right. Well, let's hope they won't actually be asleep. In order to move a little forward, a little faster. I don't know if you managed to mention, for example, the side note. That's something we do.
Yes, we do side notes.
If we're yakking up here and you think we didn't cover the subject adequately, you can write down what you'd like added and put it on one of those little pieces of paper we give you gratis and have it come up to the desk and, well, then we do add it. You see, nothing and no one are left out. And then, of course, if you ask a question that we love inordinately, that we feel is in the exact and perfect spirit of the occasion, you get something from us. Not just an answer, but a shot of Fernet Branca, the miracle liquid, dispensed by ringmonster and bartender Chicken John. If you are exceptionally generous with the emolument, with the premium that you put inside the envelope for me, Dr. Howland Owl, then I will reward you suitably by an extensive, or at least an unexpected, bardic recitation.
Mary had a little lamb. She fed it kerosene. One day it got too near the fire. Since then, it's ne'er benzene. Osmolite insomation, was one of the stranger things Bob sold in the 50s. The device, which looked like some kind of humidifier, supposedly increased one's wealth as you slept, and it should be noted only when you slept. Bob advertised it in magazines like Popular Fate, various men's rags, and not a few science fiction publications. Most publications only ran the ads once. The various components inside the Osmolite device supposedly aligned forces that drew money to the person nearest it. Despite Bob having sold several hundred of these devices, many door to door, no working one survives to this day. A few partially reconstructed ones have shown up on internet message boards, often by people swapping advice on how to fully rebuild them. Whenever he got invited to a gender reveal party, Bob would show up with a completely new gender as a gift for the baby. People stopped inviting him to these events after a while. At least one subgenius reported Bob in San Francisco, where Bob was putting up posters. The posters were of Bob and read, "Have you seen this man?" There's a persistent rumor that Bob once got into a fatal duel over if deep dish pizza is actually pizza. No one knows if it's true. No one knows which side of the argument he was on. And honestly, we've all figured it's wiser not to ask. Bob founded a donut shop called Galaxy Donuts in 1964 in Stockton, California. The space-themed menu and flying saucer restaurant design were popular, but bad decisions among franchises led to a collapse in 1969. The saucer-style restaurants continue to inspire other buildings, and there's hope that the chain or a lone shop will be revived. Dobbs was well known for doing evangelical preaching entirely for the money. Because of this, he accumulated a huge amount of church cookbooks over the decades. Now and then, he gets a wild idea to try to make something from his collection, and the results are pretty much what you'd expect and are often gelatin-intensive. During the memory wars, Bob wrote down copious notes as he'd write on whatever he had handy. At one point, he wrote that, "I wish I had a giant robot to fight the memory wars, or a giant gorilla." Ah, the rock and roll that people listen to today. Don't they know that it weakens the acetabulum? It rots the central nervous system? It's a sad thing and a bad thing. That's what we say. Go get it, monsters. It's a giant monster slugfest. They're pounding the bejesus out of each other.
It looked like some other creature disappeared behind.
Oh, now what?
Uh-oh, here comes King Kong.
Yosemite.
Jumping. Wow.
Jumping, Yemeni.
Well, the physics are just simply ignored. So now these two monsters are going to duke it out. The humanoid King Kong and the utterly...
We're too late.
...species.
The what the hell do you want to call it? I've never seen something so unclassifiable, so alien as that other monster.
Oh, my God. No, it's cake.
Cake?
Let's go rescue them.
Yeah, let's have some cake. That's a good idea.
Rush into the monster battle to rescue some
resistance wandering around. There is cake
right under the for of these enormous monsters.
This is like a blown up version of what's one we were on the pier.
Yeah,
Dinosaur Island.
Legs of the dinosaurs.
Yes, when we went to Dinosaur Island.
That's it. Yeah.
Dinosaur Island.
That is incredibly crude compared to today's.
But it still worked.
It still had its point.
Yes, it's true. It did. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. So.
Well, let's go there now.
Those are cool.
See, there are all those roads on Monster Island.
Yeah, and helicopters just sitting.
A helipad, is that what that is?
With a helicopter.
A helipad, Dad.
Uh-oh.
it's utterly unearthly.
Utterly beautiful, you mean?
Impossible to classify.
Designed by some alien pattern of evolutionary development completely unknown here in this world, in this cycle.
No matter how fast you run, they're so huge you just can't get away from them. Keep running, baby. Oh, she almost got crushed by a tentacle 1,000 feet long.
Well, that is what can happen if you hang out where big monsters are duking it out. The best thing is to watch them from a discreet distance away in perfect customized comfort.
Yes.
Dr. Hal talks to the alien.
Well, calm the old boy down. What's the word for friend?
Amy,
Bala.
Hello?
Collar's still moving, Hal. Yeah.
Swat him again.
Keep getting off
made
my
out
face.
Of plastic, but it sure does a good job.
Okay, we're all alone now.
Let's just drive the show.
There's collars all over the screen door.
I know, but keep driving, keep driving.
Well, look, there's that one little collar that's all lit up and everything. Just put a bunch of those in the jar, and maybe you can read comic books at night.
Okay, we'll put one in. Okay, I caught one. It's in the jar. It's in the jar. He was on the phone a minute ago. Now he's in the jar. Okay, don't
open it.
It
makes me sad.
The Bible quotes were too much for his soul to bear.
It makes me want to weep and cry. And I used to have tears.
We were talking to one
script,
of
that's what
I used
script.
To have
when
tears.
Had a script, everybody could be heard.
But now
it was better than
I have no more.
That's
Are you
right.
referring to the Hinky Commission?
Yes, Hinky Commission.
If you're happy and your eyes are always you know that it's the thing to solve inside. Singers do it. Crowds do it. Even little white clouds do it. You too can be unhappy if you try. Don't you know nobody laughs it up no more? If your heart ain't broken,
it is.
You don't know the score.
No.
Oh, wipe off that smile and weep a while. 'Cause it's real George to cry. Don't be a snob. You too can stop if you just tell right. Don't you know nobody left it up no more? Weep a while, 'cause it's a real joy, weren't you, to cry? Don't be a snob. Sit down and sup. Come on and try.
a giant digital clock for the heart of seeing, with huge flaring, flashing lights.
What time is it?
The incipient onrush.
What time is it, caller?
The never, never whisper by the
It makes your eyes big just looking at it.
And the sound out the distance.
You guys know what time it is. Wait a minute.
Into the eternal abyss of time. But watching somebody at night, eh?
There he goes. See what happens is every time, as he calls us, the zombies reach in and pull him out of the car.
Zombies.
You can see things that aren't real.
Fury. That doesn't even
Which real?
And he gets pulled out of the car by
vintage motion picture.
Yes, the zombies always seem so
zombies on Broadway.
But in fact, they invariably accomplish.
And of course, depends on their state of decomposition. Because
even the little stumbling, fumbling Hare Krishna zombie,
once they get past the difficult stage, the rigor mortis stage, they become quite flexible and able to perform remarkable feats.
And lift those mandibles when they find some food. Yum, yum.
Yes, they clack their skeletonous teeth as they...
Yes, I've seen them do that. Not a pretty sight.
No, George Romero started all this. The idea was...
Listen to us talk about zombies.
No monster was going to be really as scary as just some other human monster who had malicious intentions against it. This was the scariest concept.
Getting ready for October's...
And come along in the world of monsters.
The Halloween.
Sometime.
Yeah.
Because, as you know...
You can't see those skeletons anywhere, though. Check the wall.
Our listener, KPFN, KPFN, Berkeley, or KPCN,
there's no skeleton.
We are the monsters.
Wow. Yeah, these aren't those cheap plastic skeletons.
Plastic. They don't have those good skeletons that like the head before.
Oh, man, I saw somebody has a hearse down where I used to live.
A herd of them?
And, yeah, exactly.
A herd of plastic skeletons coming this way?
Window of the hearse.
Well, get one of them out for me.
Yeah, I'll be carrying one of those little skeletons around. I now carry it around the car so I can take pictures of him.
One side, Skeletor. I'm coming through.
Shot in the dark.
Yes, I've seen that film. If it's the same one,
it's bizarre to see these stiff old movies. You know, the original ones are wonderfully funny, but Shot in the Dark is embarrassingly uneven.
So, well, I remember seeing it. It certainly does have its memorable moments.
Where's that house in San Francisco that's all black? They call it the Black House. It's supposed to be.
Oh, don't you be going there,
man. We
could answer any question, but that's one I'm afraid, for your safety and for ours, we can't answer.
A certain rock band with satanic influences once thought they could spend the night in that haunted mansion.
You know, you don't want to mess around with haunted mansions while you're listening to 50s music on the show.
Certainly not.
Well, my oldest sister used to go down there.
Especially those novelty 50s.
What?
You mean with those rubber novelties, like those little opies? You could squeeze them, their eyes would pop out, and their stomachs would say howdy.
Well, my sister used to go down to the Black House and just park in front of it, wait for that guy that used to live in there to move, but...
You mean Boo Radley?
That guy.
There were people like that at Cafe
Jets. That strange guy.
Used to just go down and wait for that guy.
He lived in an old hollow tree, they say.
He had a camera in front of his house or something like that.
Cameron Swayze used to sit out in front of his
John Cameron Swayze.
With a lot of Timex... Patrick Swayze would come by, his son, yes, and they'd sit and play with each other in the front yard.
And dirty dance.
Wait, no, that doesn't say that on my script.
I don't believe that's exact. KPFA, 94.1 FM on your radio dial, with KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, California.
KPFA, please.
I already did station ID, so... Okay,
oh, come on.
Start on
come
page
on.
18.
Yes,
but it wasn't precisely at the time.
It doesn't have to be.
I'll have a roast rutabaga milkshake. If you'd be kind enough to turn the tap.
Either...
Things don't seem to be working here, but maybe
before the Allosaurus sequence, but don't leave in the middle of the Alex Allosaurus sequence. But
Allosaurus, you young man, what the hell's going on?
And I was trying to watch it.
Stop! Now it won't stop. Oh no! Come on.
I mean, it was an endless cycle of frustration.
So wait, is it Thursday night or
Why won't
morning
it stop?
I thirst to know the answer myself. It is night until you go to bed and morning when you rise the next afternoon.
Error.
So it is written in the Book of Gratitude, humbly mumbled by generations of theatrical monks. Until finally an elixir was brewed, a philosopher's elixir. This collectible substance is available only from... subgeniuses like me.
Well,
and
okay.
My companions in this great scientific discovery.
Do that spit up trick again.
Oh, I don't mean to tell
just a moment.
Unfaithful listeners just where this secretion comes from, but it is one of the
You can see creation from here.
From what?
Word secretion and the word secret are etymologically and entomologically concerned and connected to secret. If that doesn't bug you. Come on, let's leave this veil of tears and, like Count Dracula, transport ourselves. Fly away.
Fell through the other side of the...
Vampira.
Dracula.
No.
Vampira.
Dracula.
Oh, Vampira.
Dracula.
Vampira.
Dracula.
Vampira.
Dracula.
Vampira.
Oh, Dracula.
Come, my darling.
Get a room, you
and
guys.
And fly away with me.
Well, there they go. Off to new adventures.
That little oopy spooky toys show up, and you gotta grab them when they go by. Like,
well, if you can't grab one soon, you've gotta give me back my money, and I have to admit defeat that there will be no tiny skeleton waiting under the carpet for me.
But there will be.
There was a skeleton, but Hal stepped on it under the carpet.
I didn't know it was there.
Oh, no. What's my...
I broke it.
My watch with me. Pull out of the carpet. It's on me.
As shivering, I fled away with windy weather following. On swallow wing, I sped away. fee-fi-fo, et cetera.
Yeah. Whatever, spooky spirits, spooky.
I mean, what's so funny? That's what I've never quite understood. What is the subject of this supernatural silliness? Let's call it by its name. It is silly.
Okay. See, there,
ghosts,
we've come back
spirits,
to that. We're not funny. They're
spooks,
just silly.
Even after death, are silly rather than funny.
Did you
mind? No, you young people on the radio, you're not funny. You're just silly.
You are planning to attend the decompression fair.
Is that this weekend?
Yes, it's a...
Watch out for nitrogen bubbles in the blood.
Does not get the bends. Isn't this the October 20th?
Oh, you're right. No, of course. Yes, it is. You're right.
And the famous fashion show will be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Where?
At the fairgrounds, where the streets are blocked off.
Nah, that won't happen anymore. That's old stuff. But we are preparing for the Burning Man. They won't leave poor me alone, and I have to be working on my show out there, even now, with everything else going on.
This afternoon, Friday afternoon.
And they are putting bureaucratic blocks in my way. I just don't know what to do.
The 21st, and then Sunday, the 30th. The 22nd. Yeah.
Come on, Hal, think. Why?
No, I thought it out already, Doug. You're just not picking up on my signal. I said it was Sunday, and I'm fairly sure that, yes, it is Sunday.
Not funny, just
of all the changes of language a traveler in distant lands must face, none equals that which awaits him in the city of Hypatia. Because the change regards not words, but things. I entered Hypatia one morning, a magnolia garden was reflected in blue lagoons. I walked among the hedges, sure I would discover young and beautiful ladies bathing. But at the bottom of the water, crabs were biting the eyes of the suicides, stones tied around their necks, their hair green with seaweed. I felt cheated, and I decided to demand justice of the Sultan. I climbed the porphyry steps of the palace with the highest domes. I crossed 6 tiled courtyards with fountains. The central hall was barred by iron gratings. Convicts with black chains on their feet were hauling up basalt blocks from a quarry that opened underground. I could only question the philosophers. I entered the great library. I became lost among shelves collapsing under the vellum bindings. I followed the alphabetical order of vanished alphabets, up and down halls, stairs, bridges. In the most remote papyrus cabinet, in a cloud of smoke, The dazed eyes of an adolescent appeared to me as he lay on a mat, his lips glued to an opium pipe. "Where is the sage?" the smoker pointed out of the window. It was a garden with children's games, ninepins, a swing, a top. The philosopher was seated on the lawn. He said, "Signs form a language, but not the one you think you know." I realized I had to free myself from the images which in the past had announced to me the things I sought. Only then would I succeed in understanding the language of Hypatia. Now I have only to hear the neighing of horses and the cracking of whips, and I am seized with amorous trepidation. In Hypatia you have to go to the stables and riding rings to see the beautiful women who mount the saddle, thighs naked, greaves on their calves, and as soon as a young foreigner approaches, they fling him on the piles of hay or sawdust and press their firm nipples against him. When my spirit wants no stimulus or nourishment save music, I know it is to be sought in the cemeteries. The musicians hide in the tombs. From grave to grave, flute trills, harp chords answer one another. True, also in Hypatia, the day will come when my only desire will be to leave. I know I must not go down to the harbor then, but climb the citadel's highest pinnacle and wait for a ship to go by up there. But will it ever go by? There is no language without deceit.
I saw that, did you?
Yeah.
That was horrifying.
Yes.
It was really real.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There really were giant spiders and suffocating.
Think of going down there when you were a little ancient man.
No air that'll poison you, and huge spiders crawling you, and the glowing skulls. And the bats, the legions of demon bats that swoop down to necrophagous gulfs at Earth's center. Where Azazel, the blind idiot god.
Bless you, buddy. Plays a tootling flute. Oh, no, is attended by two amorphous idiot flute players.
We can't fight no magical spell.
Can't fight no lesser god.
Have you ever seen that movie, Evil Dead?
Oh, no, no,
yes,
never heard
I've
of it.
Seen it.
No.
I've seen
never
Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2.
Did you ever
Evil
see
Dead
the,
2, the director's
Evil
cut.
Dead 2 and
Evil
half.
Dead 3,
Evil
the
Dead
final
18.
Atrocity, also known as Army of Darkness.
Evil Dead
and
11, which is known as Dobbs Evil Dead.
Evil Dead.
I don't get it. One of the same movie. The same story.
Evil Dead.
Right. But there's the owner same guy person. Brought up, the former owner guy, Evil Head, is the scary one.
Evil Head, you say? I'm going to write this down.
The little Scorpio head is kept alive.
And then next month they're coming out with an Evil Dead game. Bruce Campbell's going to play the voice of the video game.
Well, I should hope so.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's
Jeez,
not working?
No?
Groovy.
Isn't he one of the Campbell kids?
Send yourself to this world. Of
and we need more old-timers making money off of the video games.
Yeah, we need Bruce.
Yes, we do. We need to make royalties and not just get these down payments.
That's right.
And, you know, I think it would be it makes sense to get points or royalties or whatever you
So
get.
We'll all join the strike in Hollywood.
Oh, I can't cross the picket line. I'm sorry. Those little fence points just prick my underside.
No, of course, and the part you don't want to forget is...
Oh, no! We've got an infestation, an infusion of alien monsters again in here. Is that a new one? A different
no,
one? Or
just, they changed
decaying?
Shape.
They're changing color.
Yeah,
it's one of the old ones, but it's
somebody put
what is that in
his
there?
Little mouth.
There's something
yeah,
horrible.
That's his
some
spirit.
Slimy thing in there.
He's been eating sponge.
What is it? It's some horrible thing.
Sponge! Oh fact,
not
God,
sponge.
There's sponge in this one, too. It's a condom.
Ugh, it is a condom, and I touched it.
Ew. That's really gross, you guys.
Yeah, that stinks. That doesn't belong in this little fellow's mouth.
I'm
going to
throw it away because little fellow is so nice.
And what about this little fellow?
He shouldn't have a thing in there.
He should be released from his contumacious condomination.
Yeah, they're too
be
wonderful.
Be sure
for
that you someday may end up an exhibit like this on some alien's show. Theophilus, the thistle sifter, sifted six thistles into the thick of his thumb. Then see that thou also, like Theophilus, sift not six thistles into the thick of thy thumb.
Larry, Mo, and Curly, the
also,
three crackers.
You want to make something of it? You big fiffy. Oh, my gosh, that time, what are you doing? You can't throw time. What are you doing?
It's like drop time. He I don't have time for this foolishness.
Insect, I killed time myself. I wiped right, my zombies? Bloody blade upon his beard and left him bleeding gears and clocks and wheels, his pendulum disintegrating.
Stand
back, back. I created you. Keep back. Back, I say.
No!
That's interesting. It's 4:14. Yes, you should know that it's 4:14, 14 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock here on Big KPFA. And we're continuing our marathon program, All Talk, No Rock. Next, we have...
You know, it's not KPFA, and it's not 4 o'clock, or, you know, I hate to tell you.
Because, you know, the spookiest, silliest, most adult of the little special days of the year is coming up.
Whoa,
it went from being a kid's holiday to a totally adult, grown-up, fatuous fantasy. Everybody dresses like Michael Pepe for one day.
You mean with no pants?
Yeah, little tights.
Now, let's hold on for a moment here. Let's rethink this.
Okay. You know, if we're going to rethink it, it means we have to do it in stereo.
Well, we also have the equal diversity programming that we have as one part of our proud tradition of public service. And today, the worse and worse city in the universe of diversity. Malaysia has many things.
I'm bored.
I'm getting dizzy.
There are 70% Dizzy Gillespie. The Malaysian.
That old fart can't even play the right music.
The first made in Malaysia rice cooker. They also recently created the largest company annual report collection. As well as the longest hot dog line. The longest lion dance performance. The heaviest load pulled with hair. Biggest goose origami. Family with the most fingers and toes.
Yes.
Give them a big hand.
The world only
the first
needs more
circumcision
records.
Device. The longest,
the world's biggest, and longest everything.
The world's most ginormous enormity. The longest abbreviation.
Oh, yeah.
The world's largest dwarf. The world's smallest giant.
Using this line.
The largest paper bag collection. That, too, is in Malaysia. The highest stair climbed on clenched toes. The fastest rubber stamp machine.
Doesn't help it?
I was ready to...
Oh, hey, James Gabbard.
I thought I'd call in and say,
No, come on! No, what?
Smallest cars in the country.
What a fast lifestyle. The zombies just ate James Gabbard.
The most rats and cockroaches
care, but
in
the I care.
Whatever happened to James? Is that what happened? The zombies ate him?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, geez.
And
how George Romero that is. You know, there's Night of the Living Dead, then Dawn of the Dead, and the less familiar Day of the Dead. And it's in Day of the Dead that James Gabbard most firmly belongs as a meal of the advancing army of zombies.
A friend of mine, David Caldwell, is with the FCC right now.
Yes?
Yeah, I'm going to put him on.
Okay.
All right, but I never did finish enumerating the wonderful things that Malaysia provides.
Listen, I just rubbed it. My buckle.
You roughed what?
His buckle, his belt buckle,
he
rubbed on the FCC.
Sandpaper. I believe that is a
which means he has to call the FTA and report that to the FOC and do the paperwork for the FAA. So listen, when you get done with all that, call us back next week.
When I get done with that, I may just, you know.
You know, I do. I know. You should. You know. Everybody should. You know. It helps you relax.
What are you, a worm?
Fresh flavor. It's the worm.
Okay, now we're cutting down the tree inside your mind.
Life seems brighter when you chew. Relax, refresh with post-hypnotic gum.
Post-hypnotic gum?
Post-hypnotic gum. Gum. Post-hypnotic gum.
Post-hypnotic gum yummies.
Gum.
And now the giant yummy bear. Because gelatin has a memory. And the giant gummy bear sucked up little Berkeley into his translucent stomach.
Shivering and shaking like jelly on a plate. You see, that is the scientific principle being demonstrated here.
Oh my god. Little soldiers with chainsaws attack the gummy bear. Well, that wasn't going to work. All they could do was cut away little sections.
Oh, they're doing the hardcore chainsaw wrestling.
Here's the cops. They'll stop this.
Yeah, we can still see all of Berkeley and part of Oakland in his little tummy. Well, it's not so little. It's over 12
hardcore backyard brawls with the chainsaw, ladies and gentlemen. This is exciting.
The two contenders waving their instruments wildly, slashing at each other with fierce abandon here in a big heat. They seem to be real passion out here on the field, and we have 6 points just declared. That was an aberrant sawing motion. We're going to have a decision on that presently, but right now it looks like he pressed his advantage, and the Sawyer family wins again. And folks, don't forget to visit the snack bar for those delicious Sawyer family sausages and sausage cases.
I'm going to have 12 candy bars, 22 sandwiches, 5 Cokes,
now, only 22 minutes until
and fries.
Until then, it's time to stretch and fetch as you make your way to our snack bar. Visit our oven where we have scores of pizzas.
Can I have a
soft drinks? All cold.
It's a regular picnic.
How about some popcorn?
Okay.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic. Teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please. That's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them, catch them unawares, and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about. They love to play and shout, they never have any cares. At 6 o'clock their mummies and daddies will take them home to bed, 'cause they're tired little teddy bears. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.
What's it about? You stupid, stupid, stupid.
You humans are stupid, stupid, stupid.
That's my favorite. Imagine the aliens get mad at you.
You of Earth are stupid, stupid, stupid.
Yeah. But they have giant ray guns and things, so you have to...
Yeah. Ronald.
So when the aliens come, everybody, be really nice, okay?
Now that's an alien.
Why not just kill a few now and...
Sort it all out afterwards. You know. Is that the color of your metal?
Oh, I did get some of that. Silver. Everything's silver.
Yes, a silver fish in a silver stream.
I have a serious question.
Dr. Silver's Golden Elixir.
Film buffs out there.
Film buffs?
Oh, sorry.
Put some pants on.
Yeah, he's really buff, but he should cover it up. Okay, now what was like the nature of your question?
Well, actually, I'm looking for a science fiction classic, and I can't find it anywhere. It is entitled Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster.
Oh, that is a classic.
You call that a classic?
What? Yeah, sure it is.
Oh, I call it incredibly bad, but...
It's but not that bad. It has its...
Where does it exist? Not in some rarefied realm of platonic perfection, but here, upon this earth, this world of restless man.
Look, let me give it to you. Can I bum a copy off of you?
Uh-oh.
You think I have a copy of this benighted cinematic atrocity?
Just inquiring.
Oh, no, I'm afraid I don't, but...
I think it's online. Can't you watch it online?
There's one bit of lore about this film that might interest you.
What?
It was deliberately created as a kind of an experiment. Its director later wrote a book about the experience of making Frankenstein meet the space monster. Are you well? Would you like to take a stress pill and sit down?
Yes.
First, untie your necktie.
Yes.
And take off your shoes, then lie at full length on the bed.
Okay.
Breathe deeply from the abdomen.
Hey, hold on, tape ran out.
We have to.
Now you're ready to turn the tape over to side six and follow me along the Kundalini pathway to Ayurvedic success in business.
Ayurvedic you, young man.
Did you have any other questions for us? Because, you know, the multi-index memory bank can take...
It is true. There is a book about Frankenstein meets a space monster. You can look it all up. What do they teach them in these schools?
The roof of the mouth. Its importance is often not emphasized enough. In the science of otolaryngeal,
it's like formation layers and layers, but transparent also. Like, it's been...
And specialists.
It's been compared to looking through a glass onion.
All right, it's the show. Just hang on.
Science.
There we go. Now the show's luring you into the vat of...
You read that book yet that I loaned you? A Summer Place?
In this tesseract of tales, every shelf a new dimension, where the laws of physics bow to literary invention. Due decimal, now a map to navigate, the stars guiding seekers through time and space. books, technical.
And Bibles and cookbooks, mythologies, fiction, FM.
Error and facts, copious of volumes.
Trillion several in his distilled knowledge.
Where distilled proximal interdimensional.
Is decimal dewy and required, he has.
Books many as borrowed, could Escher tesseract.
Bibliotheca painted hypoingle.
Heal slowly and see your own reflection. What is there when you pull the curtain back?
Interdimensional, proximal, distal, where knowledge distilled is in several trillion volumes of copious facts and ephemera. Fictions, mythologies, cookbooks and Bibles and technical guidebooks that go on forever. Heal slowly and see your own reflection. What is there when you pull the curtain back?
Just read it through to the end, Mary.
Being gored, sir. Your bush is being burned.
Oh, how so?
Well, the presidential infection is almost upon us, galloping like some plague of horror toward the polling place and the ballot box. The pundits are still on the hustings, but it looks close. Almost as close as that historic election which put Rutherford B. Hayes into office. Unfairly, illegally, and the entire election was a steal by the Republicans, which, mark my words, will happen again. Now Rutherford B. Hayes, there was a good president, too. That was the irony of it. He came into office like Shakespeare's bolingbroke, without legitimacy.
That, man, get
but
ready for the first Mormon
his administration
Supreme Court justice.
Surprising for its moderate decisions.
It must be a really exciting century then, when the conservatives get hold of the Supreme Court.
Men, women, and turtles, all affected by American history.
Follow in your book as we discuss the westward movement, Howls of the Gun.
Yeah, sure.
Timmy, will someone turn off the projector and everyone reach into your desks and pull out a... pull out a pencil.
They pull out their knives.
That. Yes,
oh,
I know. Put that cutlery away, kids. We're not going
to
need it today. It's time
hands,
for a little
course, pop
quiz.
It's season right now.
As soon as we
all
can get
hey,
pop,
pop.
We're going to ask him some questions.
Off.
You know what
you
time it is?
Your knives for that. Okay, there's a study hall session also.
All the little kids have knives, and they're walking down the street.
They're on their way to study hall. It's a
knife-wielding
behind the
study hall's not supposed to be in the old alley behind us.
Well, you see, today's overcrowded campuses cause novel solutions for an educator.
So here at 4:30 in the morning, you're faced with 800 high school students.
Hooty owl, hooty hoots to the dove.
that Tammy's in love. In this horrible alley, and violence. There was violence in the birth of the earth, in the bubbling of the rocks, in the chocobloc.
That was a long time ago, Hal. We run the universe now. Things are different here in the modern age.
The bubbling lava, the geothermal heat can still be tapped. An inexhaustible supply of energy for mankind. These giant turbines.
Those turbines are disturbing.
If they're too big, my head hurts. My neck hurts after wearing these giant turbines, but sometimes it's necessary.
It's a turbine.
To fleece the suckers, you know what I. Oh, is this on? I'm going to do my special mind reading fortune telling act for the ladies of the community if they are interested a little bit later on. But first, we're going to interview the maker of Sponge himself, Ralph Gridley Pembrose.